Howdy, folks. The date is January 23rd, 2024, and this is Roberta Grant. And I'm in White Salmon, Washington, and it's winter time. The snow is rapidly melting. It's been an eventful week. Everything's been shutting down. Kids out of school. My own kid, in fact. Teenager's been home gaming. And skiing occasionally. In fact, the other day we got to skin up. I had my last podcast talked about how I put on my ski skins and skinned around the neighborhood for a couple days, and that was nice. And then I was able to take my son and went with my husband up to behind the hills behind our house and went skinning back there. And usually snow never stays at that level, but it was super nice to do that. And some great powder turns on the way down. So had a nice family time doing that. Grateful for that. And let's see. It was really nice. And I got to play music with my band the other night. Band Spoob. S-P-O-O-B. It's not a fluid, but it's a verb, not a noun. So, yep. Just figure that out on your own. We're a rock band. It's fun. And we were able to play the other night. Had lots of cancellations this week with clients. But that's fine. Because I got to do other stuff. And the ski mountain was pretty frozen up there. So didn't really get up there too much. But now the snow is melting. And I have been trying to chop the ice out of my cold plunge tank. Have not been able to use that. So, yeah, that's been a bummer. Anyway, first world problems, right? So, just to say about my week. So some interesting things came to mind. In particular, had an interesting discussion with some friends this week about projection and psychedelics. And a bunch of us had done some psychedelics, yes, the night we played music. And, it was super fun. However, next morning, we all talked about how we went pretty deep the night before and got a little overwhelming for one person in particular. And talked about projection and how projection happens on psychedelics, and projection happens a lot about other people, you know. And so there was some projection going on about someone else to another person, and and really strong feelings for that person. And that was interesting to think about that. That in my job, projection is something I'm always watching out for. Because as a therapist, we get projected upon by clients. And what we're taught is this is called countertransference and transference. Transference is when a client transfers onto you whatever they project and decide they want you to be or who they want you to be. And because of their mind state, where they're at emotionally, what they're wanting, who they think you are and who they think you, who they think I might be, you know, like, let's say a classic example is someone who's desperately looking for help and think that I'm going to be their savior and fix all their mental health problems. And then they project onto me like, oh, you're my savior. You're going to help me. Rather than looking within themselves. I wonder, maybe I can find these things within myself. And this person is only reflecting back my personal strengths and personal power. You can also reflect back negativity to that person. But in my job, I'm supposed to reflect back, mirror, you know, in order to help them what they believe in themselves. So instead of me taking on the projection and being who they want me to be, I turn that back onto them. And if I were to react to their projections, that's called countertransference. So anyway, there's more I could talk about with projection, but projection is very interesting because it happens a lot, just in the world in general, especially when people have things they're avoiding in themselves. So, and some people live in a state of projection all the time onto other people. This is not what, you know, what, this is not an authentic way to be with yourself. You don't want to live in a world where you're like, oh, every time you see a friend, you have expectations of who that person is rather than seeing them for them. So, same with a therapist or a loved one. Loved ones, it's more complicated. We project onto our romantic partners all the time. So, who we want them to be and things like that. Yeah, so it brought me to the idea of the hungry, not that realm, the jealous god realm, which is the realm above the human realm, and it's the realm of the jealous god dominated by envy and competition. However, unlike the gods, the jealous gods do not have confidence. Okay, as in god realm, beings born into jealous god realm because of good karma from previous lives. However, unlike the jealous gods do not have confidence in their situation, that their situation is sustainable. They therefore find themselves living in a world of paranoia, jealousy, relentless competition, one-man-upship, power and control are the currency of the jealous god realm. So you can imagine what that's like. All of us, you know, have been through, I'm sure, all of these realms. So this is the book I'm reading from is Awakening from the Daydream by David Nickturn, Reimagining the Buddha's Wheel of Life. It's about the Dharma wheel. And I talked about this in the former podcast about the six realms that exist. According to the Buddhists, this is a Buddhist concept that I really appreciated, in particular how this book, how David Nickturn puts together these ideas and simplifies them as psychological states. So, the god realm, the jealous god realm, the human realm, the animal realm, and the hungry ghost realm, and the hell realm. So, obviously the human realm is the one in the middle that we're supposed to exist in, but anyway, I'll just continue to talk about jealous god realm. This one, the god realm, is the one where everything... People who live in that realm have a very, I would say that's probably like, how do you explain that realm? Because probably the rich and the famous, maybe? Or the jealous god realm could also be the rich and the famous. I mean, just to simplify it, really, anyone can be in these, but that's kind of, you can imagine that. If you live in a very achievement-oriented type lifestyle, the jealous god realm is probably the one you're existing in. If you're dominated by envy and competition, that's the darker side of competition. You can always have competition without the envy part, but yeah, so that's a very, it's a social climber's realm. And people, I would say, I've probably dipped my toe in this when I'm feeling motivated to, you know, do extra projects in my job or extra ideas, but I don't really like to use, it says power and control of the currency of the jealous god realm. I don't like to use power and control, because it's just not, it's probably why I don't make a lot of money, and it's why I'm not very, you know, in that world, which is freaking fine with me. So, defines the mindset as when we're envious or competitive, preoccupied with surpassing others in some way, we definitely know the jealous god state of mind. It's as though we're climbing to the top of the human heap, and the only way to get there is to clamber over others and push them to the bottom. So, let's say, you know, you're at the party and trying to hang out with the most powerful and cool, the cool people, and dumping your friends for the cool people. That's an example of that, right? Like high school kind of vibe. High school popularity contest. And then it defines the problem. The main obstacle to finding balance or peace in the jealous god realm is an ongoing sense of paranoia derived from constant competition. We consider our own progress how we and how it measures up. We cannot be truly satisfied no matter how much we have accomplished. So, yeah, That's hustle. That's capitalism. That's our culture, right? If you're gonna be successful in the corporate world, you have to have hustle and do things like and act that way, I guess. The opportunity. We tend to get things done when in a jealous God mindset. In this sense, we really could make progress if we get past the self-involvement that comes with the perspective. Each of the realms has qualities embedded within it that can be transformed when we strip away its self-centered neurotic aspects. From jealous God perspective, we have a profound sense of clarity and are able to fearlessly take action. Unfortunately, these qualities are completely tinged with a strong sense of envy and competition, so are unable to be useful to us as they otherwise would be. So, maybe with this practice and being maybe it's possible to be motivated also and to be fine in this realm if we find balance with this practice that I have here. So this practice, cultivating compassion. So I'll just kind of go through it, this practice. It's an interesting one. The last realm I talked about, the human realm, I didn't really go through the details of mindfulness meditation because I feel like everyone knows how to do that. This particular one, this meditation is very interesting, and I don't think people practice things like this. It's called a Tonglen, or giving and taking. The practice of Tonglen. So, when we're stuck in this mindset, this can help see the benefit, including others, and larger goal fulfillment and well-being can transform our experience into something valuable. Okay, the practice of Tonglen, or giving and taking, is a traditional Buddhist meditation that focuses the mind and brings out our compassion for others. The practice unfolds in four stages and can be practiced anytime. Okay. This is from David Nickturn's book. I'm going to read through this. Begin by taking a moment to glimpse the inherent feeling of being open and awake right on the spot. Experience yourself in your environment exactly as they are in this very moment, for a moment, and then let it go. Call to mind the basic abstract quality of suffering, a hot, dark, heavy, claustrophobic feeling. Visualize that you breathe the suffering in as a heavy smog. Imagine that you fully draw the black cloud of suffering into your body. Here you practice fearlessness by taking on whatever negativities are all around you, rather than repressing or avoiding them. So as you breathe suffering in, maintain a fearless, open attitude without rejecting suffering or trying to protect yourself from it. Obviously, this approach is radical and unconventional. Next, call to mind the basic abstract quality of happiness and bliss. Light, cooling, positive, and refreshing. As you breathe out, visualize that happiness and bliss radiate from your nose, mouth, and skin in the form of radiant white light. A positive, expansive, loving feeling pours out of you to all beings. As you breathe in and out, practice taking on suffering of others, giving all of your happiness to them in concert with your in and out breaths, respectively. Step 3. Once you have established basic giving and taking in concert with your breath, think of someone who's suffering right now and can use some help. Their situation is real, moving, and you want to personally help them. Send out your best feelings to them on each exhale. On each inhalation, take on and take in any pain and suffering they are currently experiencing, just like a parent would for their child. When you are comfortable with giving and taking, with respect to one person, Expand the scope of your practice to include anybody else who is suffering in a similar way, even yourself if that feels appropriate. If you're stuck, do the practice for yourself and simultaneously for all those like you who are suffering in a particular way. For instance, if you are working with depression, you breathe that feeling in for yourself and all others who might also be working with depression, and send out your relief in whatever form feels right, synchronized with the out-breath. Lastly, try to extend the practice as widely as you can, perhaps including others, and even all the people who might be suffering in a similar way, as the person upon whom you are focusing. For example, if you're thinking of a friend who has cancer, you could imagine that you're breathing in and out for all people who are suffering from cancer. You're connecting your heart to theirs. When you're ready to end your session of giving and taking, return your awareness to the present and settle your mind on the breath and the sensation of it in the body, and let your efforts dissolve. The feeling of exchanging yourself for others may linger after practice, and that is fine. Yeah, so breathing in and out, the Tonglen practice. Yep, that's good stuff. Get yourself out of the jealous god realm. No good in there. Too much hustle, cocaine, right? Yeah. Been watching too much Kill Tony lately. which is a comedy podcast show. Yeah. So, yeah, maybe I just did that for myself. I don't know. Got myself out of a bad mood. I was struggling a little bit. yeah. So, sometimes I just feel like I put pressure on myself to do more than I should or need, or I'm not good enough, or, you know, I've been trying to do the sock puppet idea for a long time, and maybe if I can just breathe in sock puppets and breathe out sock puppets, and you know, come up with sock puppet stories for kids. I want to form a blippy type show, which is like a toddler show, be like a clown, kind of. So, I have ambitions to be a clown, and I'm on my way. I just need to keep doing it. Not give up. Don't give up. Yeah, so, yep. Let's see, what else happened this week? I'm trying to start a men's group, which is kind of silly and ridiculous, of disgruntled dads, who, from high conflict, stressed out lives, and my partner, Cabe, suggested I call it Ask a Woman, but, stories from disgruntled dads, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what else I should do with this podcast. I think I have endless ideas, but yeah, I'm just going to pick up where I started on some of them, backtrack, and yeah. Sponsored by Ship a Dick, which is cardboard, life-size cardboard penises you can buy and send to someone anonymously, shipadick.com. Also by Nudicles, fake dog nuts. It's a silicone fake dog nut for your dog when you're feeling, I know he's missing his balls. They need to be fixed, right? You gotta cut them things off, but they don't have to live in shame. Any size. You can get Great Dane size for dachshund. You can get tiny Chihuahua nuts for your Great Dane. Yeah. So, there you go. And I've got a new product out. Hopefully they would take it, called the Festicle. It's for dog festicles. It's got LED lights for dogs at festivals. Late night, you could find your animal glowing in the night. And there's even an app connecting to the phone. So Yeah. Anyway, that's some of my comedy for the podcast. I'm not really sponsored by Nudicles or Ship a Dick, but I recommend checking them out. Those products, they're pretty amusing. Okay. I guess done amusing myself for the week. Until next week. Over and out.